Okay. It's a tremendous chizik, personally, just to be able to share a few words of Torah, specifically with parents who could be doing a lot today, are choosing to take their time when they're off to learn words of Torah. It's very, very special, and Mirat Hashem should be a schuss for all of us. I'm assuming if you're sitting in here, that means everybody in this room is already a mamon. We already believe. Because the title of the shir that I was given, I believe. Now leave me alone. What is the purpose of mitzvos? So that means we already believe. If somebody here has an issue with that, so maybe there are other shiurim, I think, that deal with that topic, and you have the time now maybe to catch that. We're all maminim. The emes is, to me, that's pashut. Not to discuss it at length now, but if I was to tell you this Makar sheet, the source sheet that I gave out, the way that I came up with this was that I took a cup of ink and a couple nights ago I just poured it on a sheet of paper and this is what formed, you'll probably be starting to think that you shouldn't be sitting here and maybe I belong in Bellevue, because it's impossible that these words and these sentences and this paragraph formation and thought process could have just formed by itself. And the world, with all its intricate details, that didn't have a boire, a creator, a constant creator. So we're all mamidim. We all believe. The emes is, you know, about a month ago, we had an amazing speaker here in Yeshiva. If you haven't heard it yet, it's online, Miriam Peretz. Well worth listening to. Tremendous inspiration. She's known as the Ima Shel Tzahal, the mother of Tzahal. She herself lost two sons in the Israeli army, in the IDF. Her husband, from the stress of that, also passed away in the midst of that. And she's a woman who walks with emunah, with bitachon, with simcha zachayim. It was an amazing inspiration just to meet such a person, let alone hear words from her. And I went over to her afterwards. And I thanked her so much for the chizik, for the inspiration, and I asked her, just tell me one thing. I'm about to go back up to my shir with my talmidim. What do I tell them? How do I tell them to build such emunah? How did you get this? How does one build that emunah, that level of belief in Hashem? She looked me in the eyes and she said, every single one of us has it. Every yid has it. It's just a matter if we're willing to uncover it. So we're all maminim. And the question we're dealing with here is, I believe, now leave me alone. What is the purpose of mitzvos? Why can't I just believe in Hashem and say I'm going to be a good, moral, nice person, an ethical person? After all, does Hashem really care? Does Hashem really care if I put black boxes on my head and my arm, as we did this morning? Is that really so important? Or even more so? In Shulchan Aruch, we have halachos regarding the way we put on our shoes in the morning. It really matters to Hashem that I put on my right shoe first, my left shoe second, tie my left shoe first. Like, come on. Doesn't the Rabbanu Shalom have better things to think about? These mitzvos that we're given, are they really so important? Or you could say as follows. I do, yeah, Rebbe, I understand. I know that there is a Hashem that created the world, but I also know I have to serve Him. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Not just Hashem Hoyohoy Vaviyya, not just Hashem that created the world, but the Hashem Elokecha. Your God, we have to serve. He does everything for us. We owe Him. But why, through these 630 mitzvahs, I want to serve Hashem the way I want to serve Hashem. I want to daven, not three times a day, but one time a day really well. I want to daven one time a day. And minion's not for me. I'd rather do it. I'm going to go do it alone. And you know what? I love chesed. It's beautiful. I love chesed too, but I want to only do chesed. I don't think it's important for me to learn Torah. That's how I'm going to serve Hashem. And what's it? Today's January 1st. You know, this upcoming Monday, I'm in the mood to celebrate Purim. I want to have Purim this Monday. We're going to have Purim this Monday. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be wonderful. There are camps that actually do that, right? They have Purim in the middle of July and August. So I want to serve Hashem the way I want to serve Hashem. What's wrong with that? I'm serving Hashem, I believe. I was learning a sefer this past Shabbos. A tzaddik who's become more and more meforsim over the past couple of years. He's known as the Chelban. The Chelban means a milkman. He owned a dairy production line in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rav Chaim Cohen. He was a tzaddik nister for many, many years, a hidden tzaddik. He looks like a very simple Jew, wears a little cap, no beard, a tremendous Talmud Chacham and Gadol. And his svarim have been coming out over the last few years. And he asked a very similar question about Yitzias Mitzrayim. We have a mitzvah, Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then there are numerous mitzvos that we are supposed to be doing, performing, to accomplish Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. On Pesach, of course, Achilas Matzah, Achilas Morer, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. But every single morning, read the last pasuk in this upcoming week's parsha. Tefillin that we put on this morning is Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why do we need all these active mitzvos to bring us to Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim? Just think about it. I'm going to remember Mitzrayim. And I'm going to paraphrase, but he basically explains as follows. He says that if left to the mind, Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim would only be an afterthought. That only because we have all these active mitzvos that we are performing constantly allows our essence to be thinking about Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember and to have a karta tov that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Because if we were just left to think about it, we're so busy thinking about a lot else in our life. I'm thinking about my parnasa, I'm thinking about my children, important things, beautiful things. But God would become an afterthought. And maybe once in a while, in the best of times or in the worst of times, suddenly God will be brought back into my life. And that's so true about Amun as well. Let's just believe, without mitzvos, I would never think about the Ribbono Shel'olam, or very, very rarely. I wouldn't be actively believing in Hashem, I'd be passively believing in Hashem. The performance of mitzvos, the 613 mitzvos, give each and every one of us a framework to ensure that every moment of my life I'm connecting to Hashem. Every moment of my life I'm thinking about Hashem, and Emunah actually becomes something very real. Through the mitzvos, I'm actually an active mamim. Through the mitzvos, I'm walking with God every moment. So does the Ribbono Shel Olam really care if I put on my shoes in a particular way or not? You know what? Probably not. But it makes a big difference to us. You see, because if I put on my shoes in a particular way that the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking me, so then when every morning I wake up and I put on my shoes, during that time period, I'm thinking about Hashem a little bit. And I have these boxes on my head and on my arm, and within those boxes are parshas, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and somehow a little bit, I'm connecting my mind to Hashem, and my heart to Hashem, and all the mitzvos. Throughout our day, 100 times I'm making brachos every time I eat, so 100 times I'm thinking about Hashem, throughout my entire day. And I'm davening not just once a day, but 3 times a day, throughout my day. And all the mitzvos are here to give us that framework, that basis, that ability to actually think about Hashem throughout our day. And when we think about Hashem, we live a different world. We live a different life. I live a life where I'm walking with Hashem. I'm besimcha always. I understand that Hashem is with me. The Sefer HaChinuch is a very famous Rishon who goes through the 613 mitzvos. And he doesn't just explain them. He gives a shoresh ha-mitzvah, a tam, as Rav Samson or Hirsch explains very beautifully, tam doesn't mean a reason, because we don't understand the full reasoning of any mitzvah. A taste, a little bit of an understanding of the mitzvah. Tam is a taste. And he has an idea that's based on psychology that really, you find it throughout the entire Sefer, in many different mitzvahs. And he says, achrei pulosav bo machshavosav. Achrei pulosav bo machshavosav means that our actions determine who we are. We think about what we do. And therefore, achrei pulosav bo machshavosav, if we didn't have mitzvos, I wouldn't be thinking about Hashem. It's only because of these mitzvos in every area of my life that creates a situation that I do think about the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout my life. But the question here, and the question we have to ask ourselves is, this is all beautiful, and a beautiful hanah, a beautiful benefit of mitzvos. But okay, who says I really need to? That's nice. But who says I need to be thinking of Hashem often? Who says I need to be following Kodesh Baruch Hu? I believe in Hashem, and if you ask me, and maybe that once a month that it's brought into my mind, maybe that's good enough. Who says I need to? Why is that important? I want to share a mashal. I heard this mashal from a tzaddik of Avram Shor. A few years ago, when I took my shir to him on Hanukkah, and he said this following. He said there was a Yerushalmi woman, an older Yerushalmi woman, who ordered a food processor from America. And she's waiting a few weeks, and she gets the food processor finally in the mail, and she's all excited, because she cooks all the time, and it will help her to chop up her vegetables very, very thin, and it will help her to make her process of cooking much swifter. And she opens up the box, and she pulls out an instruction manual. And of course, the instruction manual is in English. And she doesn't understand a word of English. There's still Israelis like this. There's still Israelis. I remember I took my children to a Rav that I'm close to, a very big tzaddik in Ramat Shlomo, Rav Herman. And we spent some time with him. My son, when he was younger, he at the end said to Rav Herman, thank you. And the Rav turns to me and says, Mazeh Todah. I didn't even know the word thank you, right? So this Yerushalmi woman, she doesn't understand, she doesn't know what it says, so she calls her neighbor downstairs. If he could come up, he understands English, could he read her the instruction manual? And he starts reading and telling her how to turn it on, and how it works, and then says, there are some rules over there. When this machine is on, never stick your hand inside. And when this machine is near water or immersed in water, never turn it on. And the woman looks at this man and says, this is a terrible machine, what kind of machine did I buy? What kind of machine did I purchase? Not to put my hand inside. I need to tell when the vegetables are ready, when they're finished, when they're cut to the perfect size. And not to turn it on near water. I'm always cooking near water. I'm always cooking near my sink. To return this. And the man, who obviously understood, says to her, wait, relax. If you put your hand inside this machine when it's on, you're going to chop up your fingers. And if you turn on the machine when it's immersed in water, you're going to electrocute yourself. There's rhyme and there's reason, even though you didn't understand it. You see, there's an instruction manual for a reason. The instruction manual is here to teach you how to gain the most benefit from this food processor. To make sure to use it to the best of your ability. And to gain the most from it. And who's the only one that has the ability to write a perfect instruction manual? Who's the only one? Only the creator of this entity. The one who created this food processor understands the intricacies of it, understands how it works, wrote this instruction manual to teach you how to use it. So too, we live in a world, and we also, we came in here, I believe, I'm a mammon, so I believe that there's a bonus on that created the world. You don't think the one who created the world left us with an instruction manual of how to use the world, how to benefit from the world, how to gain the most from the world? How to live a meaningful, purposeful life. And sometimes I might not understand it. Sometimes it might not make sense. Sometimes I want to stick my hand into a food processor. So I know better than the one who created it. The Ribbon Hashem, who I say, and I believe, created the world, also created an instruction manual. And I believe Rav Chanan Wasserman says it so beautifully. If you look on the sheet that we gave out, the first source is a piece from the end of Rav Chanan Wasserman's first Mamar and Amuna in his Sefer Kobes Mamarim. And he says as follows, Umei Iker HaRishon, from the first main fundamental thought a person must have, which is Amuna B'Hashem, that I believe in Hashem, which we said is for us a given, from that, Yotza Tolda Muchreches, there's a byproduct, a consequence that's for sure, that's certain, which is Ha'ikar Hasheni, which is the second main thought and idea a person must have. That what is what? Torah min Hashemayim. That there is a Torah that's from heaven. Let's read why. Ki achrei chetachlis kon evroim la'asos ritzon konam, after the purpose of all creations, anything created, the purpose is to do that which the creator of it wanted. The purpose of anything is to do whatever the one who created it wanted it to do. When somebody created this computer and set up this computer, the computer works according to the purpose of the creator of the computer. And that's true about anything in this world. So that pashut, it's simple. Ki ein koach b'seichel adam. There's no ability in the mind of a person. Lios yodea das elyon. Ulahasig mahu ratzon Hashem isbarach. That I know what God's desire is. I know what Hashem wants. On my own, I would have known that. How do I know what Hashem wants? Vimlo yodia HaKadosh Baruch Hu mahu ratzono. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not make known to us what He wanted, nishara habriya b'lishem tachlis. Creation will be left with no purpose. Ki eich efshar l'adam lasos ratzon Hashem yisbarach. Im lo yada mahu ratzono. How is it possible I'm going to do what Hashem wants if I don't know what He wants? Vim kein, if so, hadavar muchruch behechruch gomar. Listen to the lashon of Rav Chana Wasserman. This is something that's certain in all certainty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hodia v'gila levnei adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made known and revealed to all people mahu chefso v'ritzono mehem. What does He desire and want from them? Al yidei hiskalus shchinaso ba'olam. Through revealing His shchina in this world, through what? V'zui Torah me'ashamayim. This is Torah from heaven. If we believe in a Ribbono Shel, we believe in a creator. Every creation, we are then the creations. And every creation has a purpose. And the only one that knows that purpose is the one who created. Only the Ribbono Shel. You don't think He left us with an instruction manual? And that instruction manual, Rav Chanan teaches us, is the Torah. And sometimes I might not understand the instruction manual, but I know better than the Creator. I know better than the one who put all the intricacies of this world in place. And sometimes we do understand, and it's very beautiful, and it's a little more meaningful. And sometimes we have to put a little more time and effort into learning. And sometimes we'll never understand. Sometimes something's a choke. It makes absolutely no logical sense. But it doesn't mean it's not emes. It doesn't mean it's not best for us. Because the one who created knows it's best for us. But is that enough? It's beautiful, it's nice, but is that enough? Meaning, philosophically still, why mitzvot? What do the mitzvot do for me? What does Hashem want from us? Why are they best for us? Once I believe they're best for us, but why? The second source here is from the Mesil Shesharim, and we don't have the time to read well through the whole thing. I would suggest you do on your own time. Perek Aleph of Mesil Shesharim is surely for any Eved Hashem a must read. It's probably a must read about 101 times. Chovos Adam Balamo, purpose of man in this world. I think that's basic for everything. Meaning, how can I take a step in my life if I don't know my purpose? How can I speak one word if I don't know my purpose? And there the Ramchal, one of our greatest philosophers, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, he develops an idea, it's based on his work in Derech Hashem, really. The two books to some degree go hand in hand. Derech Hashem is a little bit more of the philosophical work, and the Mesil Shesharim is a little bit more of the behavioral work, but he develops and explains what the purpose of life is. Because again, once you believe in a Ribbono Shel Olam as a creator, there must be a purpose. There must be a rhyme and reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam created this world and what our purpose then is. And he develops an idea, I'm going to say it short now, if you'd like to talk about this another time, please be in touch. And that is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is perfect in every way. And one of the ways perfect is to be a Nosei, to be a giver. And therefore, He created the entire world, the entire universe, only to give. And therefore, our purpose in this world is just to receive, is just to gain pleasure from Hashem. It's a beautiful thing. Our whole purpose in this world, why we were created, is to gain pleasure for Hashem. That's why we're such pleasure seekers. We just often look in all the wrong places for another time. Because that is our purpose, that is our essence. And the question is, how do I gain that pleasure from Hashem? So if somebody wants to give me something, How would I gain and accept that? I have to come close to that person. I have to build a relationship with that person. Thank you. I have to develop a relationship with that person. And in here, if you look, we're just reading in the middle the line that is bolded and underlined. The Ramchal explains, the mediums, hamagim es ha'adam l'tachlis hazeh, that helps a person reach this purpose, the main way to gain that relationship and to gain that pleasure from Hashem, heim ha'mitzvos. They are through the mitzvos. Asher tzivanu aleihem hakel yisparach shmo. Then Hashem has commanded to us. It's through the performance of mitzvos. Correct.
I mean, if you look around, people don't make sure, or in anything, people just go through without.
Anyone, surely, anyone can choose to live a life any way they'd like. But if a person wants, if a person cares to live a meaningful, purposeful life, this would be the logical steps he would take. Anyone could want, anyone could turn off. I could also decide to become a drug addict if I like, and throw my life in the garbage. I could decide anything. We have Bechira. But if you care to live a meaningful, purposeful life, this is the derech you'd go. So the emsayim is heima mitzvos. Getting back, the greatest way it means is heima mitzvos asher tzivanu aleim akel yisbarach shemo. That Hashem has commanded us. Hashem has commanded us. How so? Let me just suggest two ways. How do the mitzvos fulfill that objective? How do the mitzvos help us build that relationship with Hashem, which will help us gain from all that Hashem is giving us? I'll tell you in two ways. First of all, anyone who wants to build a relationship with somebody else, if somebody asks you to do something and you do it and you perform that deed, that builds a kesher, that builds a connection, even though I might not understand why I'm doing it, just doing for somebody else builds a relationship. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to do mitzvos, and we do, that builds a kesher, that builds a relationship. But more so, there are 613 mitzvos, 613 ways to purify ourselves, to make ourselves a little bit more godlike. You see, the greatest way to be close to somebody else is if we have similarities, if we have similar goals, similar aspirations. We're similar to each other. If we're complete opposites, we're not going to be able to have a relationship. If I want to build a relationship with Hashem, if I want to gain from all Hashem is giving me and fulfill my purpose of life, I have to be a little more godlike. How do I become more godlike? Hashem gave us a way. He gave us an instruction manual to perfect ourselves, to become a little bit more godlike. Through these mitzvahs, through the 630 mitzvahs, connected each part of our body, every mitzvah has a way that it purifies and makes us more holy. And some we understand when it comes to chesed, and doing for others, and building empathy and sympathy and sensitivity. I hear mahurach, mahtorachum, and some areas I might not see how I'm becoming more godlike, but I am. And that helps me fulfill that purpose, because if I believe, I also believe, as Rabbi Chanan said so beautifully, there must be a purpose, and there must be an instruction manual and a way to gain that through Torah. But I'll tell you one last thought. One last thought, and it's the last source here, is that if we're left to our own desires and thoughts, and I say, I'll be just a good moral ethical person. Is that really going to happen? Let's look around at the world. Is the world we live in a moral place full of ethics? Walk around Times Square and we look at the billboards that are up in our days. How morality and ethics is changing with time and changing with place. It's all subjective. If we want to live an ethical, moral life based on objective truth, there's only one way. It's through the one who created us, who's given us this path. And that's why, if you look at the last source, Pirkei Avos, which is Ethics of Our Father, teaches us how just to be a good, nice person. It opens up with Moshe Kibbol Torah Mesinai, Umasra Yeshua, the Yeshua Zakenim, Zakenim Leviim, the Leviim Asru L'Anshei Knesset Gedolah. It opens up with the Mesorah of the Torah. The Mesorah of the Torah. What does that matter? Because true ethics, objective ethics and morality has to be only based on Torah, only based on the one above. Just to end 1 minute with a very quick story. And that is that in the year 2000, January
1st, 2000, turning of the millennium,
the New York Times put out a few special editions. They put out a January 1st, 1900 edition, January 1st, 2000 edition, and January 1st, 2100 edition. And there was something there on the bottom of January 1st, 2100. There was a ticker with candlelighting time. From 1995 to 1999, that appeared on the cover of the New York Times, but June 1999, it wasn't there anymore. There was somebody, a guy, Jay Gross, who wanted to do it, and it cost about $2,000 a week, and they ran out of funds, and they couldn't do it. But Jay Gross and a few others, they noticed this on the special edition, January 1st, 2100. And they called him up, and they asked the production manager of the Times, who was a Roman Catholic, why'd you put it there? Why'd you put that ticker? And he says, there were a lot of stories in that edition, whether robots will be allowed to vote, about the 51st state, a lot of predictions. He said, I don't know if any of those predictions will be true. But I know one thing. I know that in the year 2100, Jewish women will still be lighting candles. And I'll tell you something. You know why Jewish women will still be lighting candles? Because it's a maisa, because it's a mitzvah. If our religion is left just to the minds of thought, we wouldn't be sitting here today, and we surely won't in 2100. It's our maisa machre pulosav bo machshavosav. It's our maisa, the framework that the Rebbeinu Shlomo has given us, that keeps us connected and keeps that emunah that we want so deeply. Mirat Hashem, we should be zeichet, sitting here learning that Hashem is Shleimer Kodesh in the year 2100 and way beyond. Have a wonderful, beautiful day, everyone.